Oh, can you feel it? It's springtime. Feel it? It's so nice outside. Too tempting. I think we just might have church in the parking lot and just enjoy it out there. So how many of you have already mowed your lawn? Show me. Have you already? I am so sorry. I'm sorry. How many of you mowed somebody else's lawn? So yeah, I thought of that just because of you. That's amazing. So I'm refusing to mow my lawn yet. I'm actually going to have one of the girls do it. That's why I believe God gave me four daughters, so they can tag team the lawn. And so it is so fun as spring starts up in Wisconsin. I really believe that's why people live here. The winter is just to thin the weak ones out. Spring is why everybody comes here. And in the summer, that's why they all stay here. It's so enjoyable. Everything is green, and I just can't wait to get out on the bay and kayak and catch some waves, do all the things that summer and all of that has in store. And yet at the same time, there's a part of spring that is just inevitable. I try and deny it. I don't even really look forward to this part of spring, but it just happens. You know what I'm talking about? It's that spring clean out. It's like the first opportunity you get to just get into the shed, get into the garage, do something. Now no excuse is any longer there. Now you have no excuse to hold off, wait a little longer to do what it is that you. And one of the reasons that I'm kind of sad about this is because I've become the laughingstock in my neighborhood. I still have my Christmas lights up. I have been just lagging behind, looking at them and going, no, it can't be warm enough yet to get up there and take them down. I just can't. And there was one other guy across the street. He was also holding out, but he took them down this weekend. And I was like, now I gotta do it. There's no excuse. It's springtime. Actually, I think of this because of the message that God put on my heart today. It really just, it's part of what we do in our Christian life. There's a spring cleaning that happens often in our Christian life. I really believe this is something I think is a timely message for us here today for the springtime, and because we're a spirit-filled congregation, or we want the Spirit of God in our lives. Here's what I believe the Lord put on my heart. It's time to do spring cleaning with the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit into the process and let there be some spring cleaning in your life. And so this whole message is about letting the Holy Spirit be that wonderful maid that comes in and helps you in cleaning your life up and what that looks like or what that could look like. And the reason this is important, and sometimes as we get into this message today, of the metaphors or analogies of the Holy Spirit, the wind, the fire, the water, the light of the Holy Spirit. But as we get into this, I want to apply them to the specifics of cleaning our life up and the resistance that we have to that cleaning process. It makes me think of one time I was with a group of young people when we were doing some ministry, and I think point of the trip, we had stopped in New Mexico. We weren't living in New Mexico at that time. At one time we did live in New Mexico, but we had stopped in New Mexico, if I'm not mistaken. And I was in with a few young boys. They were just teenage boys. And about this point of the trip, we were gone already for at least a week. And we had done work projects, and we had done all kinds of activities and stuff. But these two young guys had a quality about them. They just stunk. They smelled bad. And so as I investigated, as a good youth minister did at that time, you investigated, why do these young boys smell? Why can I smell your feet from 5 feet away? Why do you smell so bad? There's a perimeter around you all the time. You know, it's like, what is up with this? And don't look at anybody in the church right now. That would be so bad. Some of you are actually tempted to go, Lorraine, don't do that. And so these two young boys, they just had this smell about them. So finally I said, what is up? And everyone that was close to them said, they haven't taken a bath yet. They haven't taken a shower yet. I'm like, what? It's been over a week now. You haven't got in the water? You haven't got clean once yet? Like, how old are you? They were like 14 and 15. And I'm thinking, you know what? You're never going to get a girlfriend. That's what I was thinking. I was like, no, go out with you. I don't care how good you look or whatever you think. I don't even care if you got money. And this was so sad. So here at this, one of these young men was with me. And I said, hey, tonight is the night you're getting in the bathtub. And he looked at me and he's like, mm-mm. And I'm like, yes, it is. You're staying in at the same house. You are going in the tub. And he's like, really? I was like, I don't care if it's with clothes on or with clothes off, but you was getting in the water and you're getting clean. And so sure enough, we talked, we joked about it. And then finally, I actually had to walk him to the bathroom, put him into the bathroom with all the stuff he needed for cleaning up. And then I just shut the door. And then I waited like a dad would. And I'm sitting out there. I don't hear any water. I'm like, I don't hear any water. Turn the water on, and you hear him like, what? Oh, man. After a week, you think he would be saying, I give, I give. Finally, the tub water goes, it goes, it goes like that. And I said, it should be full. Shut us off. Nothing. So then I'm like, you should be in the water now. Do I need to come in? No. Okay. I don't hear anything. I don't hear it. Fine. Then I hear clumps, and I hear all this stuff that close and everything. Then I hear the water. But something just didn't sound right. And I was like, you're bigger than that. There should be more sloshing or splashing. And he goes, I'm in the water. And he was like doing it. Finally, I didn't buy it. Little thing on the nozzle, open up the door. There he is, still in his clothes, and he's doing this in the water. And I was like, oh, it's like it's on. And then it was so funny. He got clean. Get clean. I look at that, and I think, why is it sometimes? It's comical to think of that story, but why is it sometimes we resist just the process of cleaning? I think sometimes we do. And for some odd reason, I'm not sure why, but sometimes we do. Let me give you what I think will be the culmination of maybe the main point. So turn with me to John chapter 8, and I want to give you about four scriptures that kind of form the main point of this message today. In John chapter 8, specifically in verse 12, here's what we read. When you're there, say, mm-hmm. All right. And I'm almost there. And in chapter 8, verse 12, good, some are there. You can get tabs on your Bible so you can flip there quicker. It's okay. Or you just turn the Bible on in your smartphone and let Siri read it to you. And chapter 8, verse 12 says, and again, therefore Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in the darkness, but shall have the light of life. That scripture says that Jesus is what? He's the light of the world. All right, so now I'm going to ask you to have a little bit more participation. So Jesus is the what? He's the light of the world. Now, that's just a quality of who he is. In his kingdom, there is a light, right? Turn over to 1 John. So 1 John. So now you're going towards the end of your New Testament. And I'm going to have to get glasses. This is horrible. Every time I get up here and preach now, this is just a side note. I know, Jekyll's, and I have a hard time. It's dark enough up here, and I'm going, I think I see it, and then I get the small, my Bible's gotten smaller print the older I've got. That's what it is. So 1 John 1:7, we're there. 1 John 1:7 says, but if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his son cleanses us from all sins. So if we walk in what? If we walk in what? The light, God's kingdom. Jesus is the light, and if we walk in the light, we have what with each other? The scriptures say we have fellowship with each other. That means we have unity. We have this great bond with each other, but we're not done yet. Let's go to Luke chapter 8. Back over to Luke. go. Luke chapter 8, and we're going to read a couple different verses. We're going to start with verse 17. And it says in verse 17, under this whole parable of the lamp, it says, "For nothing is hidden that shall not become evident, nor anything secret that shall not be known and come to light." It's a quality of God's kingdom and the reality of these things that is just part and parcel to His kingdom nature. God is a revealer. The Holy Spirit is a light and a revealer. That's just God's nature. He makes things visible. And so then now let's flip just a little bit forward and let's go to chapter 12 in the book of Luke. And in chapter 12, I just want to read a couple verses, verse 2 and then verse 3. And verse 2 says, "But there is nothing covered up that will not be revealed and hidden that will not be known." Verse 3. "Accordingly, whatever you have said in the dark shall be heard in the light, and what you have whispered in the inner room shall be proclaimed upon the housetops." Ooh, that's scary. Last section of Scripture. You getting the theme here? There's a lot of things about this theme today. But let's turn. Last Scripture, John chapter 3. In John chapter 3, we're going to highlight verse 19. In verse 19, John chapter 3, it says, "And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil." Verse 20 says, "For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light, because his deeds are going to be exposed. Verse 21 says, "But he who practices the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to ask for your Holy Spirit to illuminate our hearts and illuminate this room today. As we've gathered in your name, Lord Jesus, we lift you up. And we know that you see and you know and your presence is everywhere. God, you have all knowledge. And we ask for you to reveal things about our hearts so that we might experience a washing, a renewal, a cleaning. And not just that, but Lord, that we just have a greater fellowship with each other and with you. Lord, I ask for a spiritual spring cleaning, or a practical spring cleaning today. And Lord, I pray for the joy that comes because of that cleanliness in your presence. In your name we ask this. Amen. Amen. Well, I guess here's how we put some skin on this message today. The Holy Spirit has been likened to wind. The Holy Spirit is likened to wind. And the reason I say that is because as the Spirit of God was described in the process of being born again or saved to Nicodemus, Jesus said to Nicodemus, if you want to know the process of salvation, you got to be born again. And he kind of scratches his head and goes, that doesn't make sense. And he says, listen to this analogy. The Spirit blows from wherever and it's going to blow to wherever it goes. You don't know where it comes from and where it goes. That's just the way it is. Now, I don't know if you've ever read that out of John chapter 3. What does that mean? Why did he say that to Nicodemus? Because the first step in the process of a cleaning, a spring cleaning, is a yieldedness to the Spirit of God. Why? Because you can't be born again through human effort or that kind of a process. You must yield your will to another. So spring cleaning starts with the analogy of the wind of the Spirit. And as the wind of the Spirit blows this way or that way, He will blow you to the presence of the Lord, blow you to an awareness of God that you need God as your Savior. And when that Spirit of God stirs you, you, with your will, must surrender your will to the will of the Holy Spirit. Now, this is very important because it doesn't stop with salvation. This is part and parcel to your whole Christian walk. Where the wind of the Spirit blows, you better yield to it and let it blow you. I don't know if you've ever, we were biking just the other week. I think this was last Sunday. It was pretty windy, if I remember correctly. It was last Sunday. It was pretty windy. And some of the kids and I, we got on bikes and we were riding through the neighborhood. And at one point, we were riding against the wind and we were also going uphill. And I just realized how difficult that was, in addition to just going up the hill. Now the wind was so strong, up to like, 30 miles an hour gusts and things like that. And I was like, ooh, this is good. I wish I was out on the bay. And I'm pedaling up the hill. I know, now I've got water on. So I'm pedaling up the hill and I'm thinking like this. And then next thing I know, I took my little jacket and I just unzipped it and I held it like a little thing like this. And I'm just being blown around. And it literally just started pushing me all over the place. And I had so much fun and I was just goofing off and enjoying it. But in the real world, you can find yourself walking against the wind. And it's amazing how that natural wind provides great resistance. And it's legitimate. You have to work against it. It's the same in your spiritual life. You can resist that gentle wooing of the Holy Spirit in all areas of obedience. This and you go, maybe in a little bit. That's resisting the Holy Spirit. God says, I need you to just spend a little extra time with me today. And you go, okay, as soon as I get this done. That's resisting the Holy Spirit as it blows this way or that way. If the Lord puts an idea in your mind, a scripture in your mind, and you go, I don't know if that's really God. I'll just wait until maybe some other evidence. A gentle way of resisting the Spirit of God. Have you ever done that? I have. There's been times where I know that the Lord put this crazy idea in my head. I want you to pray for this person. And I go, I need another sign. Or when I was young, I asked my dad this one time. I said, Dad, I need to know if God's telling me to do this or if it's something else. And he goes, well, what is it? And I said, well, sometimes I get this idea that I should pray for this person or say this to this person to just encourage him. And I just want to know if that's God. And his response, I'll never forget it because it's so cliched now in my mind. I hear it all the time as I talk with people who ask the same question. He asked me, he goes, what do you think, the devil would put that scripture in your mind and put that idea to go pray for someone or to encourage them? And I go, maybe not. Yeah, maybe not. And he goes, so it's a good idea then, right? And it makes good sense. Yeah. And he goes, probably a God idea, so you should probably do that. And I'd be like, yeah, but I was answer. That was one like I'd like fireworks or some other, you know, burning bushes or something. You know, honestly, we don't need much more than just the gentle breeze of the Holy Spirit to steer us, unless we're a rebel. And there are some strong-willed Christians where we say, God, I'm your man or I'm your woman. But in order for you to lead me, you better put your bit and bridle on me and you better learn how to like steer me very strong, you know. And there are others who just say, Lord, just move as gentle as you need. Say yes. That's the same way that we got saved. The Spirit of God starts to woo you with his kindness and then at some point you yield to him. That's the gentle wooing of the Holy Spirit, and that's what Jesus was teaching Nicodemus. It's not by human effort or power. It's by following and yielding to the Holy Spirit that you are remade and brand new. So when it comes to spring cleaning, have you heard the wooing of the Spirit in your life? It's springtime. Spring cleaning is springtime. Feel the breeze of God in any particular area in your life? It's not the time to hold off on it. Now's the time to respond. That's what spring with Jesus is all about. Let's talk about the next analogy that is needed. Let me say this about wind, too. I know that I had this wonderful power blower, and there would be times that, like in the fall and at different seasons, I would use that blower, and I would just blow out all the dust and the junk. That's what I would do in my garage or things like that. Did anybody do that yet this year in your garage? You did? Oh, I heard about this. You got dust all over his motorcycle or something like that. Or in the car with the sunroof open or something. Anyway, it just tells you. She was addicted to the power. It was just amazing. You know, I really do see that is a great analogy to what the Spirit of God wants to do in our lives. Sometimes we just get stale. We're not really obeying the voice of the Lord on the little things. And I bet you that's what causes dust in your spiritual life. So if you want to let the Spirit of God blow through your life, clean out junk, just start practicing more obedience. And actually, I was thinking about this while we were doing worship, because do you hear God's gentle spirit in worship ever? Because if you're like the rebel who loves Jesus in worship, you will often hear in your own inner voice, oh yeah, I think it would be a good idea to do this right now in worship, maybe lift my hands. But then the rebel inside of you goes, nah. Or you might say, I think I should probably just, I need to pray about this or that right now. Maybe I should kneel and just pray about this. And then the rebel goes, nah, not yet. Maybe if it's really God, he'll use the preacher to speak it in the main service. And that's just us resisting the gentle wooing of the Spirit. And so stop resisting. When it's time to worship, just let the word of the Lord speak to you. And man, if you need to lift your hands. And don't listen to any of the other voices. That'll blow out that dust like Cheryl using the blower in the garage or whatever. It'll get you moving. Now, the water of the Spirit, this is so good because I believe some things can't be cleaned or washed out of our lives without the spiritual water. The story that really rings true to me comes out of Exodus chapter 15. And in Exodus chapter 15, we read in verses 22 through 25 that the children of Israel just are led by Moses out of Egypt through the waters, and all of the evil Egyptian soldiers are drowned in the waters, and God did miraculous things to deliver them from Egypt, didn't he? He did miraculous things. They get through all of that, and then they get into the desert. So after all of the miracles of getting out of Egypt, now they get into the desert, and this is where real life meets their Christian faith, and it gets difficult. And they begin to realize we lack some water, and we lack this and that. Now we don't even remember why we left Egypt. And now they're starting to complain to Moses. And now it's just really, really difficult for them. And they get to a place, and they look for water, and they find it, but the water is bitter. The water is bitter, and they just go, oh, just like this. Now we're in the desert, now we find water, but the water's bitter. And then they turn to Moses, and they go, hey, and they start to complain. And this is the point I pull from this. Life is hard, and if you are not washing with the presence of the Lord and with the Spirit of God, you can become sour and bitter. And in the springtime with the Holy Spirit, you have to have spring cleaning. You have to let the Spirit of God wash your soul, or you might come to a place of real bitterness. Yes, you've been set free, you're born again, but you're walking in a world that feels like a desert at times, and you can get hardened and bitter, and that is sad. That's sad. I don't know if you've ever met a Christian who is born again, but they're a crusty Christian, and they're just bitter. They don't seem happy or that there's much of a joy in their life. And you know why? They're not washing with the Word of God and with the Spirit of God in praise and worship. They're not doing those things. There's no water of God welling up inside of them. And so here's what we see in Ephesians 5, 18 and 19, and again in verses 25 through 28, we see these two realities. We should wash each other with songs, hymns, and spiritual songs. We should speak to each other in these beautiful things. Why? Because that Spirit of God gets stirred up and the water of the Spirit washes our heart. Part of the reason why we sing songs and praise the Lord when we come in to gather in His name, it's not just so that we lift Him up, it's so that we are washed in that process. Because we hear those hymns, we hear those songs, and we're reminded of the truth that's in the Word of God. Because often we don't read the Word of God like we should. Why? Life is busy. It's a desert out there. You get dust on your feet and you get dust in your heart and your mind and you need to wash. And if you don't do it, you become bitter. They get difficult and stressful and disappointment. At the end of the day, if you don't spend time after a hard day, if you don't spend time with the Lord washing in the Spirit, then you will feel the heaviness of soul. And if you continue like that, you become callous and bitter and yucky. It's just sad. So the miracle in Exodus 15 was this. Moses prayed and cried out to the Lord. And he goes, what do I do? And so God showed him how to miraculously change that bitter water to sweet water again. And I believe in spring cleaning with the Holy Spirit, God takes bitter people and he makes them sweet again. I really do believe that. I believe if you have a sour spot in your life, don't live with that. Let the Holy Spirit clean it out. And how you do it is start washing yourself with the Word of God and washing yourself with the Spirit through prayer and through praise and worship. You just do that. I'll tell you, even on days where I know, oh man, Lord, I need you today, it starts with prayer and worship. I get onto the piano early this morning. So I got up at 5 o'clock this morning, and then I get up here at the church, and this is on, good. And this is what I was singing this morning. If I can find the right key. That's it. This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. And never mind. Anyway, and so I was like seeing that. I think it was like when Steve came up or something. I was jamming with that. And I have to put my heart and my mind in God's kind of river. And I just get it washing. And sometimes it feels like that young kid I talked about where I have to be my own dad and say, get in the tub. And you just put yourself in the Spirit of God, even if you don't want to get in the tub. You just get in there and then you start worshiping. Put on the worship music on the CD or whatever. Start praising and start thinking about the Lord. And then pretty soon it's not as hard to do it. And it starts just flowing. And next thing you know, you stop thinking about the other junk. The dust is getting out. And now you're starting to think about God. And you start to just, your mind, everything starts to change. Now, husbands, Ephesians 5 says this to you. Just like how God cleans the bride through the word, think about this. Every single one of us as believers, we're in the body of Christ, we're the bride of Christ, and you're washed with the word of God. God says through the word, he tells us the plan of redemption and what Jesus has done, and you believe that word, you're washed, you're born again, you're made new. Now that washing of the word doesn't stop with just that. It also applies to the husband-wife relationship. It says right there that husbands are supposed to wash your wife with the word. And so even in our relationships, like in the next chunk of Ephesians 5, you don't just speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs and wash each other. You also have to speak to the loved ones in your life. And so for Petraea, times where I'll just sit down and maybe I know she had an extra hard day or something like that. And tell me if I'm lying publicly. Make me look like an idiot if I'm really just blowing and going here. But I'll sit down and I'll see something's off and I'll just know it in my heart. And so then what do? I start sharing with her something that I know is encouraging out of the Word of God. I'm not preaching to my wife. I'm sharing something precious that I have from the Lord that I want to share with her. And I'll just say, hey, you know, I was really challenged by this scripture. It's so good. And I just begin to just bubble on. Inevitably, at the end of this little bragging on God and sharing the Bible, she will say, oh, that's good. That's really good. And I go, I know it's so good. I needed it. And it's good. And then we just leave there. And what am I doing? I'm washing my wife as a good husband should do with the Word of God. And husbands, if you don't do that, shame on you. Get into the Bible. Start gleaning the Word of God. Whatever is good and beneficial to you, don't be a hog. Share it with the woman you love. Share it with your kids. I'm doing that with my daughters too. Every now and then, I'll just like, when it's one-on-one time, I'll say, hey, I'm thinking about this. And it's just, I start the conversation off like that, and I'm just sharing the Word of God with them. I don't care if they're listening, really. I don't care if they agree. I am just getting it out there and letting it wash their brains. And that's a healthy thing to do. So that's washing with the Spirit, washing with the Word. Oh, that's good stuff. So then let's now move on. So that's the water. That's the water of the Spirit. And I think it's really good. And you've got to take time to bathe. Amen. The next thing that I want to highlight is the fire of the Holy Spirit.
This is a good one.
I like this one. The first one's the wind. The key to that cleaning is just yield. Humble. Be humble. Let the Spirit of God lead you. The second thing that I point out, that water, you've got to wash your mind and wash your spirit. Get that water flowing. Stir it up. The third thing, the fire of the Holy Spirit. How do we clean with the fire of the Holy Spirit? I'll tell you how we clean. I don't know about you, but I talked about burn barrels before. There are things I love to burn. I don't know why I do. Maybe I'm a closet pyromaniac. I don't know. I just love to burn certain stuff. And there have been times where I would get a big old pile of junk. And I haven't had a house where I could do this in a while. But I get a big old pile of junk, and then I just light the whole thing on fire, and I stand way back. And I don't know about you, but if you're like that, it is so much fun. It's just like Dances with Wolves. You want to like dance around with it and be like, fire, fire, and then throw spears into it and like, bah. Or, you know, it's like, I just love it. It's so much fun. In fact, I still have a picture on my phone. I don't have it with me. But we got rid of an old dollhouse. Well, I could have just busted it up and thrown it away. No. I staged a house fire. I went and put it in. I literally did. It was so much fun. I was such a dork. And I put this little fire in the fire pit. And then I was like, ooh, where would the imaginary fire start? Over here. And I get it all going. And then I take before pictures like, ooh, here's my imaginary happy family just living in their house. And then, ooh, is that smoke? Ooh, next picture. By about five pictures later, it's an inferno. Wah! And I was just sitting there going, this is so fun. This is why I'm weird. And I sit there and I look at all this. I love to burn junk that is useless and can be burned. I just love to do it. And you know what? I believe the Holy Spirit is just like that. The Holy Spirit likes to burn up everything that's useless in your life and in mine. And spring cleaning with the Holy Spirit comes sometimes in an unlikely way. Its purpose and goal is to burn up everything that is useless and pointless and no longer needed in your life. Some of it could have been good things from the old days, but God wants to burn them up now. Some of it could be things that you just didn't know about, or maybe didn't know was deception or a lie here or that. And God wants to just prove to you that it's a lie and it's pointless. You shouldn't worry about it anymore. And so he puts us in places that feel like fire, persecution, trials, testings. Why? Because it's in those moments things that don't really matter become, you just throw them away. Bah, it's no longer important. And I'll tell you, if you're going through a trial or a fire, so to speak, I bet you know what I'm talking about. Suddenly the pointless things become less of a discussion. And now the things that are really important become more prominent in your life. You pray more. You talk about what needs to be talked about. You stop talking about stupid stuff. You actually begin to spend time in the presence of the Lord. Why? Well, because now suddenly it matters. That's the reality of the fire of God. It burns up all the other junk. And it doesn't just stop with your personal life. It's also in the church. Why do I know this? Well, because Paul said it. If we were to look in the letters to the Corinthians church, this is what we would see. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10 through 15, he basically says, now, if the foundation is Christ and then the church is built on it, if fire and persecution comes, what is built on the solid rock will remain. But if there's a bunch of pointless junk, when fire and persecution comes to the church, it will be burnt up and just be pointless. And you know what? In the American church, there's been lots of fires and persecutions that come. And it shows us what things are silly and frivolous. It really does. So it doesn't matter. Some of the things that we think matter, that doesn't matter. But the basics of our Christian faith and the solid rock upon which the church is built on, those things are important and they matter. And so in our Christian faith right now in America, you've got to hold those basics dear in your life. You can't just run to whatever else might feel impressive. Hold to the basics of Christian life and hold to the relationships in which God has put you, because that's where meaning comes from and purpose is really tested. So in James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, it talks about how that fire comes in your personal life and burns out all the junk that really needs to be. If you look at the cleaning of the fire of the Holy Spirit in this way, you can celebrate your trial. If you look at the cleaning of the Holy Spirit in this way, you can celebrate the persecutions and the trials that you face in your life. If you look at it from just an earthly perspective, you'll be bitter and you'll be angry that you're going through something hard and difficult. But let it be what God can do with it. Let it be a refiner of your faith. Amen? Now, the last thing that I want to talk about, though, and it's probably the meat of my message. So all of this up until now was just the prelude. So you ready for the real message? Here's the real message. When we opened up 8:12 about the kingdom of God is all light, and 1 John 1:7 about there's fellowship in the light, and in Luke 8:17 we talked about the light, and again in 12 verses 2 and 3 how everything's going to be revealed and exposed, all of that stuff, and then we ended it up with John chapter 3 verse 19 about how the light of the world comes, but people shrink back because we don't want the light, we like the darkness, probably because we have some bad deeds. So the light of the Holy Spirit, what is about this that I want to highlight? Well, when I was about 12 years old, it was my job to clean out an old shed that was just always on the property of our family house. It was just this little cinder block shed. It wasn't our garage. It wasn't the barn. It wasn't all that other stuff. And we had 7 acres, and this thing was just kind of the neglected little something. And who knows what it was, but it became the catch-all for everything, and the door was never opened. We just left it there. And so one day, it was spring probably, my mom said, "Ben, that's your job today. That's your chore." And I was like, "Oh, no." And so sure enough, I drug my feet because I knew this was going to be ugly, and I crack open that door. I probably had to break it open. And finally get in there, it's just dust and yuck and everything. I think if you touched anything or moved anything, it was like one of those powder mushroom things. It just kind of went, pfft. Everything, it just was horrible. You just had it. And we come from a long line of don't wear a mask when you get into dirt. And so that's why I have like plumber lung or whatever the appropriate name is. I don't know what it is, but there's some lung monkeys in there. They have a whole residence going on. And I mean, it's just, it was so nasty and I was so slow and I was not doing it fast enough. My mom's just got frustrated. My mom is a drill sergeant when it comes to these things. So she came out and she's like, "Benji, get in there." "Yes, yes, mom. Get that thing right there. Go there." "Oh, mom, but that's yucky." She's like, "Get in there." And so with her being my drill sergeant, I pull back a thing, and lo and behold, both of us see this yucky-looking gray mass. We've never seen it before. We don't know what it is. And we, to this day, I think it was kind of wiggling. And I was like, "What's that, mom? This is why I don't clean out stuff like this. Mom, I don't do this." And she's like, "Benji, do you get that?" And that had a different tone. Was kind of the tone of mom saying, "This is scary. I don't want to touch it. You touch it." And that's really what it was. So then I didn't want to touch it with my hands. No way. It was this weird pulsating gray thing. And so then I took my broom and I took the handle of the broom and I kind of dabbed it a little and it just did this, just wobbled. And I'm like, "I don't know what that is." And she's like, "Well, knock it down." I was like, "I don't know." And so then I just kind of half knocked it. Nothing happened. It was sticky kind of. And so then I poked it. When I poked it, we both panicked because about a million little cleary like spider things started climbing right up the pole of my broom and they just spread like fast as all get out, all down this. And I'm telling you, we panicked like crazy. Some of you are doing this because it's so freaky. It was gross. It was that gross. Why was it like that? Because it was closed up, it was dark and it was yucky and there was all kinds of mold and dust and junk, the perfect place for all that junk to grow. And it wasn't until somebody cracked open the door and started moving everything away and started poking in places where you didn't want to be poked and things like that, where the spiders could get like cleaned out and all of the dust could get cleaned out and everything could get set up and that place could be usable again. I really do believe that the most important thing about spring cleaning with the Holy Spirit is the process of taking things that are hidden and bringing them into the light. coming into the light, coming into the light. And everything that is hidden, you've got to bring into the light. And I'll tell you, there are at least 5 big resistances that we have to the Holy Spirit and bringing things into the light. And I'll tell you what they are really quick. These are the things that many of us in the room struggle with. You think it'll be better all the way around. Be better for both you and for other people to keep it hidden. When the Holy Spirit says, I want you to deal with this, it's spring cleaning time, I want you to bring it into the light, you and I may feel, nope, it's been hidden for so long. It's like Pastor Ben's little shed with the spiders and the dust and all the mildew and junk. It just keep the door shut. It's going to be yucky for me and it's going to be yucky for everybody else. Keep it hidden. And we'll tell ourselves that lie. But you know what? The psalmist says, I wasted away when I kept those things hidden. That's what the psalmist would tell us. The other thing that happens is when the Holy Spirit says, I want you to bring something in the light. I want you to expose it. I want you to bring it out in the open. This is the thing that we say. No, we want other people to know that we're okay. We don't want them to think that we're not okay. No, we want everybody to think we are okay. If I bring this out in the open, everybody will know I'm not all the way okay. There's an area that's not okay. And so that pride has to be killed. It has to be killed. I don't know about you, but have you ever had an injury that you just didn't want to deal with or clean or disinfect, and so you just kind of Band-Aid it or cover it up? I have. In fact, in my hand, from a little kid, I stabbed a pencil in my hand by accident, and then I just, instead of like doing anything with it, I just quickly broke it off, and the whole pencil lead and everything is in the palm of my hand. It's still there because I wouldn't let the school nurse dig out everything that was right there. I just left it in there, and it's still there. My wife has one too, so we're both messed up. And you know, I think this is such a lie to think we all have it perfect just because you can dress up and come to church regularly or irregularly. That's a baloney. Every single person in this room is messed up in some way, shape, or another. All have fallen short of the glory of God. Every one of us. So none of us in this room is perfect, so you don't have to worry about it. Just be as messed up as you is normally. And it's okay. Now, the funny thing is the minute you don't allow pride to hold you back from bringing things into the light, you will experience a great freedom. You experience great freedom because you take the teeth of the enemy right away from them. I love that. So the first thing, don't think that you're going to be better keeping it hidden. That's just stupid. Hey, the second lie, it is not the truth. It is a lie to think that you're okay and you just need to keep it hidden. And that, no, that's pride. So just kill the pride. Who cares if you want others to think you're okay? The third thing that I would highlight will be severely if we bring things into the light. And probably because of our fearful expectation of harm and condemnation, maybe backed up by childhood experience. Maybe you told the truth at some point and you were unduly punished level for it or whatever. Or you just don't like pain and the pain of confronting just don't want to deal with it. I think it shows up in this way. We don't want the punishment that comes from being honest in life because the norm is to hide it. It's like when you're with a band of criminals, if you're the tattletale, you're going to get it from not just the circumstance, you're going to get it from every other person that would rather have you keep it hidden. Because if you're honest, then that puts a light on them. And that's scary. So then you get punished if you get honest. Have you ever done that with God? You come to God and you get clean, and then suddenly your spouse goes, well, you're a jerk. And you're like, what? I just was getting honest. Well, yeah, but that's just like you. You're like, what? What do you mean it's just like me? And we get punished sometimes because it really is a reflection of the Holy Spirit into other people's lives. And so it's often the excuse we give. Nope, I'm not going to bring it out in the open because I don't want to rock the boat. And it's just better right now the way it is. So we keep it hidden. Don't fall into that. Don't fall into that trap. The last two that I want to say about lying and this. We believe that the ugly things will just eventually go away if we ignore them. That is so not true. Type of person. And dealing with it once and for all, then family, you got to bring it out. In church worlds, you got to bring the ugly junk out to the surface and say, we got to deal with it. And I'm usually the person that says, has anybody else looked at the elephant in the room? And everybody goes, no elephant. This one here, let me put you right here, like that elephant right there. You can smell it and see it, can't you? I feel very uncomfortable. I'm sorry, it's a small church. This is what we do. We point out elephants. That one. And a lot of people are just very uncomfortable with that. They just don't want you to point out the ugly stuff. It's just going to go away. It's not true. It just doesn't do it. You got to bring it into the light. And the last thing, and it's probably the most powerful thing, especially in our generation, we believe that we are independently owned and governed, and we are isolated from all other collateral damage. That means what I do in my own time and to my own life affects me, and that's all that matters. So whatever I do, as long as it doesn't hurt someone else, I'm okay to do it. And as long as you don't bring it up and I don't bring it up, and who cares what else it does, it's all about my life and I'm free to live my life the way it is. I'm an independent person and you can't tell me how to live, and I can't be accountable to any other damages. So if I'm a closet alcoholic, that's okay. I'm not going to talk about it because it's not going to mess up anybody else's life. As long as I don't talk about it, it's my life. I can do whatever I want. If I'm addicted to porn, I'm not going to bring it out in the open and talk about it because it only affects me. As long as it doesn't affect anybody else, it's okay. What about opioids? What about, I love painkillers. I'm addicted to painkillers and I just have to have it. Liar, liar, pants on fire. Come on, get some help. Nope, if I bring it out in the open, it's just going to mess everything up and I'm just going to keep it secret. It's just going to affect just me. It's just me. What about your spiritual life? You come to church and as long as you don't tell anybody else you're not really as good of a Christian as what you want everybody else to think, then maybe it just won't affect anybody else. Here's the scriptural analogy. There's a story of a guy in the Bible during the time of Joshua and the conquest of the Promised Land. His name is Achan. Achan believed that lie. He believed that if he kept his actions all secret, it only would affect him. It wouldn't affect his kids, it wouldn't affect his wife, and it wouldn't affect his tribe or clan. It wouldn't affect anybody else. But here's what Achan found out. The entire nation of Israel saw defeat in battle. Why? Because one guy disobeyed the Lord and then hid it, and he kept it hidden, thinking it wouldn't mess anybody up. And the Spirit of God says it's time to do some spring cleaning. And he said, now I'm going to have everybody come and bring all their junk, and he's going to expose it and he's going to clean it up. Why? Because God loved the people so much. He wanted to show them very literally, you can't leave dirty junk dirty. Get it clean. And so this spring, my challenge to you is this: wash with the Word and the Spirit. Wash with the water. Wash with that wind. Wash with that fire. Bring everything out at night. Why? Because it's springtime with the Holy Spirit. And that's what's necessary if you want the full joy and the abundant life that God has for each and every one of you. For your kids, for your grandkids, for this city. I'm telling you, this is a good message, but maybe it's fun, maybe it's not fun, I don't know. But I hope it challenges you. I hope it challenges you to do some spring cleaning with the Holy Spirit in your life. Would you stand with me this morning? We're going to pray and we're going to eat some soup and we're going to have a blast today. And next week, we're going to have Pastors Mike and Janice Comedy, and they're going to minister here, and it's going to be powerful. But I want to give you some tools. I want to give you some tools, and I want you to just take this moment, and I want you to open up your heart and ask the Holy Spirit if there's spring cleaning that needs to go on. If there is, that's between you and the Lord, and we'll have the altars open. That's good. But I want you to just make sure that you have that time with Jesus today. So just close your eyes at this moment, and Heavenly Father, I ask for your Holy Spirit to just move in our midst right now. And if there's some spring cleaning with your Holy Spirit that needs to take place, that you would just begin to stir in our hearts the need and the reality of just cleaning house, cleaning up maybe our minds and our hearts, washing and blowing out some dust or whatever it is, or burning up some pointless things. But whatever it is, Lord, I pray right now for the light of your Holy Spirit to permeate every corner of our heart and mind. God, we don't want anything hidden. We want it all out in the open because we want the fellowship that is there in your presence. We want to walk in the light as you are in the light. We want that sweet fragrance of just being in unity with you and with each other. Lord, I pray for that sweet fragrance to permeate every home in this place, every household. Do spring cleaning in every household. So Lord, right now, burn up all the junk. I pray for every iniquitous thing, every hidden sin, that you purge it from every person's heart and mind. Lord, every selfish protection, I pray that it is laid down at your feet right now. And we claim what your word says in 1 John 1:9, that if we confess, you are faithful and just to forgive. Oh Lord, we bring things into the light, you just wash it, you sun bleed. And I thank you so much for that right now. And I pray even for a washing of minds, a washing of mindsets. Lord, a spring cleaning in the way that we think right now. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. I'm going to activate this message in a unique way. This Wednesday, we're going to kind of break protocol and do something special. This Wednesday, we're going to have a special time of just prayer and intercession on Wednesday. Just specific message, that's great. But this really felt in the Spirit, we need to give time of just prayer, session, and worship. So when you come to church on Wednesday, many people here on Sundays aren't able to make it on church on Wednesday night. That's okay. But if you can adjust your schedule, if you can join us on Wednesday, come and come with the express purpose to seek the face of the Lord and pray and heart. I really do believe it's preparatory for what the Lord wants to do this coming Sunday. We've got to clean house sometimes, personally and just as a corporate body. We got to let the Spirit of God do what He wants to do so then He can break out in new ways. And I don't know about you, but I'm telling you this prophetically. If we do this, I believe that the whole out in fresh ways. Something you'd want, I want it, so let's do it. Let's do whatever's necessary to prepare the way for the Holy Spirit to move in a mighty way. So this Wednesday, let's do that together as a church. Midweek, you're going to have all the junk from your work days or all that other, all messed up. You're going to come to church and you're going to dump it all in the river of Jesus. And we're all just going to worship and we're going to love the Lord and we're going to let the Spirit of God do some more things in us. Amen? So that's what this message is a preface for. This is probably the prelude for Wednesday then. So amen. Thank you, Jesus. If you need to come down for prayer, come on down. Other than that, we're going to move this party in there. We're going to have some soup and we're going to enjoy the Lord. Well, before you go, Cheryl has something she'd like to share. Oh, you're going to have to turn that on. I can't get there. You go.
Okay. During worship, I received a word from the Lord. And he was prompting me to come up here and ask for Mike, but I convinced myself that it was just for me. It was private. Then Bill came up, and the Holy Spirit was prompting me to come up, and I didn't, because I convinced myself that it was just for me. And I had no idea what you were going to preach on, but then you were talking about this, how we hear from the Holy Spirit, but we don't obey, and we convince ourselves of a lie. So at the end of this, he's saying, go and do it to glorify me, to show how I do work. Mm. And people need to believe when we hear. So the word is, I'm here to cleanse you, to boil the gold, in, meaning each of us individual temples of the Lord, to boil the gold with my Holy Spirit fire. You should scrape the bottom of the pot, meaning we should scrape. He could do it, but he never wants to force us to do anything. So he said, you should scrape the bottom of the pot so the crust floats to the top, refining you. I will wait until you offer it, that crust. I will wait until you offer it to me, because it is all about me. Praise me, honor me, glorify me.
Amen. Isn't that unique? Isn't that cool? Well, if there's any doubt or room for skepticism, if the Lord puts that on somebody's heart and shares it, it's just affirmed in the Spirit. You just go, okay, God, thank you for speaking that to us. So take this and cherish it in Jesus' name. You be blessed. Have a wonderful day. Let's go eat some soup in there and have some fun. And come down for prayer.
Name, another same, your gospel.